I've heard it said, you steer where you stare. We are bombarded daily with voices vying for our attention. And if we fill our days and minds with Netflix and social media feeds, we can get off track pretty quick. That's why I developed a 30-day music challenge. Listen to Christian music exclusively for 30 days. The challenge is free, and I'll be right there with you every step of the way. Head over to michellenezat.com/30-day-challenge to sign up. Change your music, change your life. You're listening to More Than a Song, episode 286. Hello, and welcome to this episode of More Than a Song. My name is Michelle Neesat, and this is the podcast dedicated to helping you discover the truth of Scripture hidden in today's popular Christian music. My goal is to teach you to connect portions of God's Word with the songs you're singing along with on the radio, to help you meditate on truths that will transform your way of thinking and ultimately your life. The entire Bible is a story, and it's not a story about us. It's a story about God. And I love how the Storybook Bible puts it. It's an adventure story about a young hero who comes from a far country to win back his lost treasure. It's a love story about a brave prince who leaves his palace, his throne, everything to rescue the one he loves. All the stories are telling one big story, the story of how God loves his children and comes to rescue them. So when Leanne recommended that I use the song Rescue by Lauren Daigle to jump into Scripture, my answer was a resounding yes. I love to read about and talk about our rescuer, don't you? So before we jump into Scripture, let's listen.
I hear your SOS, your SOS.
Our whole lives whisper SOS. We are in absolute distress and need saving. We are enslaved from birth to sin, and our rescuer is our only hope. And I'm reminded of an SOS call in Scripture. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he says this, "I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It's sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what's right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will rescue me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord." Who will rescue me? And the English version, the English Standard Version, it says it this way, "Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I want to do right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. What a miserable person I am. SOS, SOS, SOS. So one of the first things I do when I land in an area of Scripture I want to study is to read it in context. And that is one of my favorite go-to Bible interaction tool exercises. And I call these exercises, these are just habits, bites for short. And I actually read Romans 1-7, right? Because this SOS call is at the end of chapter 7. And then I spent some extra time in chapters 6 and 7 this week. And let me tell you now, we can't even begin to scratch the surface. And I have to admit something to you. Romans is hard for me. My head starts spinning when I read it. So one of the other bites I use when tackling Romans is to slow down. And I want to admit this to you as an encouragement. I know that there are times when you read something and say, huh? And it's okay that there are things that you don't understand as you read. I always say that there's enough that I do understand that I can focus on that while taking my time to explore other resources to gain understanding in other areas. Well, you might say, well, what other resources? So what about your pastor or your small group leader? If they can often help you understand things that are confusing for you in the Bible. I like to use my study Bible introductions and my study Bible notes. There are commentaries that I trust. How do I find the ones that I trust? Well, most often they're recommended by my pastor or another godly person or mentor in my life that I trust. And so using outside resources is also a bite that I use, but only after I've spent time in the Word seeking to understand it myself first. So if we go back to the bite of slowing down, I can read and understand Romans better because it's not that Paul's teaching is over my head. His SOS call wasn't, right? I mean, it's very understandable. I get what he's saying there. There's a few little phrases in there that maybe I go, well, I don't really know what that means, or I don't automatically know what that means. But the overarching SOS call, I get it. I'm with you right there, Paul. It's just that Romans is so rich and full. Reading it fast just doesn't cut it. So Paul's SOS call here is seen in verse 24 of chapter 7. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? So I began to ponder why we are subject to death. And that line of thinking led me back to Genesis, which is interesting because I've been reading a book that I recommend called Even Better Than Eden. It's a book by Nancy Guthrie. And in it, Nancy talks about something that I hadn't considered before. Eden, though it was bright and beautiful and unsullied by sin, was not yet complete. Nancy writes, it was bursting with potential, but it wasn't yet all that God intended for the home he would share with his people. It was not meant to be static. It was headed somewhere. In other words, Eden was never intended to be enough for Adam and Eve. It was part of God's plan that it was the beginning. It was at the beginning, but it was never meant to stay static. Something better was held out there if they obeyed God's word. But they did not obey God's word, and their sin brought sin into the world. Romans 5:12 says this, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. So who was that one man through which sin came into the world? Well, it was Adam. God was really clear in his instructions to Adam. Consider Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. It says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So Paul explains it clearly in Romans 5:12, that sin came into the world through one man, Adam, because, spoiler alert, he did eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so sin came into the world through that sin. So let's consider God's solution. Just a few verses down in Romans 5, it says in verse 19, for as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. So who is the one man here? Jesus, our rescuer. So let's break down a few things that we discover in Romans 6 and 7 that lead up to this somewhat frantic SOS call by Paul. In Romans chapter 6, Paul starts out by teaching the symbolism of baptism, of life, death, and resurrection, and what that means in our relationship to sin. Then Paul teaches about slavery to sin and lawlessness, and then leads into a discussion about slavery to righteousness. Then he talks about in chapter 7, the metaphor of marriage and the law. That's an interesting discussion. You could use the bite of compare and contrast to tackle that one. Then the ongoing discussion about the law and what the law does and doesn't do. That that's the part of the scripture that really kind of gets me. It's like knowing what a word means, but when you go to explain it to someone else, you realize you need a little bit better understanding. That's where I am in that discussion. So that's not what I'm going to talk about on the podcast today. I'm just being raw and real with you. I mean, you got to start somewhere. So then you can't just stop when the verses stop, like the heading in your Bible changes or the chapter ends. This is a letter, and while it does probably shift at chapter and section headings, when I ooze into chapter 8, I see some of those thoughts that come together. So I say all of that to say this. I obviously don't have time on today's podcast to unpack all of that, all of those separate discussions. So let's take one of those areas and look at it more closely, and then you could use those other areas to explore on your own. I'm going to go ahead and list them out in the show notes found at michellenezat.com/286, and you could use that as a jumping off point to stay in that section of scripture, even though we're going to talk about only one of them. Now, we already began with the end in mind. We read Paul's SOS call, and we see that God has provided our rescuer in Jesus Christ. But the question is, what do we need rescue from? And the answer is obvious, as he discusses throughout 6 and 7, sin. Okay. A big question Paul asks in verse 2 of Romans chapter 6 is, how can we who died to sin still live in it? This is an important question. You know, we need to be rescued from sin and from the eternal consequences of sin. And we already know that scripture teaches that God delivers us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the solution. But I don't know about you, but I still sin. And obviously, so does Paul. That's the SOS call. So as I mentioned earlier, one of the first things Paul talks about in Romans 6 is baptism. Now, baptism is an outward physical symbol of the inward spiritual conversion of Christians. It's something that Jesus asked us to do. It is what he tasked the apostles in the Great Commission to do, to go and baptize, right? To make disciples and to baptize people. And while it is a symbol, it is an act of obedience. It means something. It's not magic. It's like when you get baptized, something doesn't happen. It's a symbol of what happened, but it's a really important one. And it represents something extremely powerful. And in verse 1, it says of chapter 6, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. All right, so Paul reminds us that we were buried with Christ by baptism into death, that we might walk in newness of life. We must die to ourselves. We must die to sin. All right, verse 5 goes on to say this, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin, for one who has died has been set free from sin. All right, so he's taking time here to remind us that through faith in Christ, we died to sin, that our death, as illustrated by baptism, unites us with Christ. And a dead person is no longer held captive. He says it in verse 7, for one who has died has been set free from sin. Isn't that funny? I mean, some of us hold on to lives of disobedience, rejecting God and his ways because we think we're free, but we're not free. We're slaves to sin. In the next section of scripture in chapter 6, which we will not have time to cover today, Paul says this, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. So becoming slaves to obedience leads us to greater freedom than we could have ever imagined. But we hold on to this false freedom, this slavery to sin, because we think we're free. But back to our text. Anyway, we are united with Christ through death, but Jesus didn't stay dead, right? Let's look on verse 8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Paul reminds us here that Jesus died, but has been raised from the dead, never to die again. We are united with Christ in death, remember, death to sin, and we are united with Christ in resurrection, walking in newness of life. Remember, verse 5 says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." Now, all of this makes sense to me right now in theory when I read it slowly and I think about it and I like restate it. Dead to sin, alive with Christ, got it. Except I still sin. And Paul knows it because in verses 12 and 13, he instructs us to be proactive when it comes to sin. Verse 12, "Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God." We have a rescuer who offers us new life free from sin, but we still have to walk in the newness of life. You see that? We have to walk in it. It's out there, but we have to walk in it. We must show restraint and avail ourselves to be used by God. And I'm not sure what that looks like for you right now. I mean, the part of my body that becomes an instrument of evil is normally my tongue. I use too many words and I often get myself into trouble. But God always gives me a way out. I just have to choose who I'm going to give into. And then also, did you see whose glory it's for? It says, "Use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God." For God's glory. Soli Deo Gloria, for God's glory alone. In practice, however, it's my glory that I seek first. What a miserable person I am. I agree with Paul. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you can see this, that the work has been done by God. We are rescued from sin, but the work is not yet done. We must walk in newness of life. Oh, the tension that exists throughout Scripture. It makes my mind stretch and twist and hurt sometimes. God just doesn't seem to be bothered by the tension. Have you ever noticed that? So my question is, what's next? Well, read Romans in context. Read the entire letter in one sitting if you can, or at least listen to it. That's a bite, is to listen to an audio version of it. Then zero in on Romans chapter 6 and 7 as it builds to Paul's SOS call for rescue. Consider the symbolism of baptism. Ponder the spiritual truth it reveals, but also consider ways in which you are not walking in newness of life. Allow your rescuer to rescue you. Allow him to lead you by his Spirit. And then while you're in God's Word this week, let me know how you're doing. Email me, michelle@michellenezat.com, or hop on Twitter @michellenezat, or Instagram @michellenezat, or on Facebook, Michelle L. Nezat is my public page. And let's talk about what you're learning. Now, before I tell you what song will be featured next week, I want to thank any new subscribers who have subscribed recently, like Rosemary from New Jersey, Kylie from Arizona, Kay from Georgia, Gail from Wisconsin, John from Washington, Tana from Montana, Carol from Texas, Darla from Georgia, Jaikira from South Carolina, Stephanie from New York, Jane from the UK, Jessica from Florida, and Lorraine from Florida. Welcome. Now, new subscribers to my website will benefit from a one-page resource of my top 5 bites that I've used on the podcast. It's a great place to start. And then subscribers will also benefit from an email that I send once a week. And in that email, you get a weekly memory verse resource to display on your smartphone, tablet, desktop, where you can print it out. You also get an email recap of the week's episode and instant access to some of the resources that I create for my podcast from time to time. And all of that is my way of saying thank you for listening. So head over to michellenezat.com to subscribe today. And have you had a chance to write a review in iTunes for the podcast yet? It really encourages me, of course, but it also helps me stay visible to new listeners. So as always, if you take the time to review my podcast, I will take the time to personally thank you right here on the podcast. Just like KGage870, who writes, "Such an uplifting way to start my day. I've always been intrigued with the story behind music, and I love a good Bible study, and this combines both in one great way. Thank you." Well, thank you for taking the time to review the podcast. I love that I'm a part of your week. Of course, you can listen to the podcast through iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can follow on Spotify or through Stitcher Radio or your podcast listening app of choice. Well, that's it for this episode of More Than a Song. Next week, I will replay the episode where we used the song Rescuer, Good News by Wren Collective. It will remind us of the big picture story of our rescuer, and it will be the perfect partner to this episode. If you liked this episode, however, would you mind sharing it with others? I've made it really easy. With just one click, you can share via Facebook, Twitter, or email. Just head over to michellenezat.com/286. While you're there, I'd love to hear from you. Click on comment to join the conversation. Until next time, take time to meditate on God's word and consider his ways.